The front-wheel drive car joined the traffic stream on the highway. It became just one of thousands, all heading the same way, all fast and focused and linear and metallic, like giant rounds fired from giant chain gun barrels somewhere far behind them, which was a mental image the driver liked very much. He was a bullet, implacable and relentless, singular in his purpose. He was heading for his target. His aim was true. Across the barrier, no one was heading in the other direction. The morning flow was all one way, high speed and crowded, towards the distant city. Christopher did the thing with his hands again, clearing metaphorical clutter off his desk and out of the conversation, ready for a new topic. The difficulties. He said, "It's a speed issue. We have to be quick, and at the same time we have to keep things normal for the Marine Corps. We can't let them suspect we have a leak, so we can't stop talking or they'll guess. But we can't let much more stuff go overseas, so you can't waste time." Reacher said, "What, this is going to be like speed dating?" "You're new in town, so why wouldn't you?" "I would. Believe me, it would be like a dream come true, but it takes two to tango, and I'm a realistic guy. On a good day, I could get a woman to look at me, maybe, but four women all at once is not very likely." Christopher nodded. "That's the complication," he said. "That's the difficulty we were worrying about. Plus, these women are scary. West Pointers, off-the-charts IQs, fast-track, going places. You can imagine." "I don't have to imagine. I was at West Point." "We know. We checked. You didn't overlap with any of them." "Are any of them married?" "No, fortunately. Fast-track women don't get married. Not until the time is right." "Any serious relationships?" "Same answer." "Are they older or younger than me?" "Older. 29 and 30. "Then that's another negative. Most women date older men. And what rank am I going to be?" "You're going in as a sergeant. Most snipers are. Women like that don't want enlisted men." Christopher nodded again. "I said at the beginning this wasn't going to be easy. But think logically. You might not need to go through all four. You might hit lucky the very first time, or the second. And you might just know anyway. We have to assume the guilty one will resist any kind of contact. It could be that three say yes, and one says no. In which case, she's the one." "They'll all resist contact. They'll all say no. Maybe one slightly more emphatically than the others." "I'm not sure I could tell the difference. It always feels about the same to me. My social antenna must not be very well developed." "We don't see another way of doing this." Reacher nodded. He asked, "Did you get me a uniform?" "We got you a suit." "Why?" "Because you're going to be a Ranger, or Delta, and they like to show up in civvies. It makes them feel like secret agents." "It won't fit." "The suit? Oh, it'll fit. Your height and weight are in your file. It was easy. It was like ordering anything, except bigger." "Have you got bios on these women?" "Detailed," Christopher said, "plus transcripts of everything said at the hearings so far. You should probably read those first. The way they talk will tell you more than the bios." 5 miles west, across the Potomac River, a 30-year-old woman belted a fanny pack low on her hips and moved it around until it was comfortable in its accustomed position. Then she bent forward and flipped her hair back and slid a toweling band in place, easing it back and back until it was seated just right. Then she kicked the hallway baseboard for luck, left toes, right toes, and then she opened her door and stepped out and ran in place for a moment, just gently, warming up, loosening, getting ready, facing it down. 5 miles, 30 minutes. Possible. It would depend on the lights, fundamentally. If more than half of the crosswalks were green, she would make it. 51%, that was all she needed. Less than that, she wouldn't. Simple arithmetic. A fact of life. No disgrace. Except, it was. Failure was always a disgrace. She took a breath, and another, and she hit her watch. And she ran down her path, and left onto the sidewalk, and she settled in for the first unbroken stretch. Long, easy strides, relaxed but pushing just a little, breathing well, moving well, her hair swinging behind her in a perfect circular rhythmic pattern, symmetrical, like a metronome. The first crosswalk was green. Reacher started with the transcripts, the pre-committee hearings. There were records of two separate sessions, the first 2 weeks ago and the second 1 week ago, hence the rush. The third session was due. The transcripts were exactly what transcripts should be. Every vocal sound uttered in the room had been transcribed onto paper, every and and you know, every false start, every repetition, every tail-off, every stutter and stammer, every hopeless tangle and broken train of thought. Reading the pages was almost like hearing the voices, but not quite. There was a semi-real quality. Speech never hit paper just right, however good the transcriber. The first to speak was one of the Senate staffers. Reacher could picture the guy, not young, disrespectful to send a kid unless the kid was a hotshot, and hotshots didn't get sent to waste time listening for 16 hours before saying no to the Army. So it would be an older guy, solid and substantial and been there forever, but a clear B-lister all the same, because A-listers didn't get sent to waste time listening for 16 hours before saying no to the Army either. This particular example of a senior B-lister sounded puffed up and bossy. He started out by making himself chairman of the board. He just announced it. No one objected. Not that Reacher expected anyone to. Presumably the guy had a dynamic of his own going on with the other staffers, and why would the Army or the jarheads care which one of the assholes did what? So the guy went ahead and formally recited the purpose of the meeting, which he said was to examine available courses of action in the light of the perceived requirement for a new infantry weapon, namely a sniper rifle. Reacher didn't like that sentence at all, because of the word perceived. Clearly, that was how the argument was going to go. You don't really need this. Yes, we do. Why? Which was the big bureaucratic elephant trap right there. The on-the-ground snipers would drift the wrong way. Had they ever missed a shot because of inferior equipment? Hell no, sir, we never miss our shots. Hell, we can use anything. Hell, we could make our own damn sniper rifles out of your granddaddy's old varmint gun and a length of rainwater gutter and a roll of goddamn duct tape, sir. And the procurement officers would drift too far the other way until they started sounding like gun nuts or NRA members writing a letter to Santa Claus. So it was a ritual dance. There was no way of winning. It was 1986, and it was all about planes and missiles and computers and laser-guided integrated systems. Firearms were boring. They were going to lose. But not until their wet dream sniper rifle specification leaked overseas. The foreign manufacturer could gear up ahead of the next attempt, or go right ahead and build the thing and sell it to the Soviets. Reacher turned the pages, and it went pretty much as he had guessed it would. The puffed-up, bossy guy asked why they needed the new rifle, and no one answered. The bossy guy asked them to pretend he was an idiot and knew nothing about the subject. Not a big ask, Reacher thought. Then the Army procurement guy spoke up, and the typist must have nearly worn out his M key.